Welcome back to the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. We're here today joined by Cece Gerlach, Allentown City Councilwoman and candidate for Pennsylvania's 22nd House District. The election is on May 19th. To bring people up to speed, Josh Siegel left this seat, the 22nd House District, after resigning to become Lehigh County Executive. That triggered a special election. The nomination was then Julian Garrity, who then had to withdraw. And then the Democratic Committee selected Anna Tiburcio, who then won the special election and is now currently the representative-elect for Pennsylvania's 22nd House. And Cece is here because she is also running for that seat in the primary on May 19th. So I hope I didn't confuse people too much. We're going to have some links in the notes if you need to find out more information. But Cece, thank you again. You've been on the program before. I appreciate your time. For people who haven't met you before or just getting to know you and this race, who is Cece Gerlach and what do you want most for voters to know about you?
Hi. Yeah. First off, thanks for having me again. I enjoyed my time here last time, and I look forward to answering a bunch of questions and hopefully bringing some clarity as to what my stances are and my platform for this race. So at the end of the day, I'm a working class person. That's how I identify. I grew up really poor, and thanks to some educational opportunities, going to college, I've been able to climb out of poverty and now enter the working class. Right now, like you said, I am on Allentown City Council. I'm going into my sixth year on City Council as a legislator, as a lawmaker, a policymaker. And then before that, I served on Allentown School Board for 8 years. And the school board, that is a legislative body and more so a governing body. And both opportunities, the thing that really grounded me was just staying in service to people. This campaign didn't get started in a back room. It didn't get started by a bunch of political insiders getting together. This campaign got started on front porches and lines at soup kitchens and under bridges, talking with teachers, with custodians, with just regular folks who want to have their voice down in Harrisburg. I'm a policy wonk. I love policy. When I'm out and about and I hear an issue, my first reaction is to think, how can I fix that problem through policy? Because policy is the way that, you know, it's great that we've got organizations that are able to address, say, hunger on a as needed, like right in front of you basis. And we also need to address issues on a more long-term, sustainable, legislative, institutional basis. And that's what gets me going. When I see, I mean, just recently when we had the eviction of the unsheltered down at the Jordan encampment,
right,
that was a problem. So my immediate reaction was, there's got to be a legislative way to fix this problem of just bulldozing people's homes down without much notice. So I got to work. I found some policy that other municipalities had enacted. I contacted a couple of lawyers, contacted a couple of advocates, worked with the Commission on Homelessness, and got to work. That's who I am. I'm a policymaker. I love it. I guess that makes me kind of dorky, but I love it. I love writing laws. It's fun to me.
Sure. Well, and then, I mean, it brings me to kind of like the elephant in the room, right? Where the special election happened. You were somebody who put your hat in the ring and you weren't selected. Why do you think that was, or can you talk a little bit about that and why you feel like maybe you felt like you should have deserved to have that at the time?
You know, at the end of the day, what happens, happens. I know I am the most qualified candidate to serve in this position. What I would love to see from this experience is some change. In other states, even just in our neighboring state, whenever there's a special election, voters still get a choice. I believe that democracy works best when it's in the hands of the voters, not a handful of political insiders. So
like the people who pick for the special election, right? So the person, the group of people, that's like a democratic committee on like the state level, correct?
Well, so the initial selection is made by precinct committee people, and then that's a recommendation. So they make a recommendation to the state Democratic committee, and then they can either accept that recommendation or they can make a different choice. And it seems like that's maybe what happens in this situation.
There's other states where you can. The voters do the special election selecting is what you're saying. Okay.
Indeed. So if we were, say, New Jersey, what would have happened is anyone in the 22nd district, including myself. But, you know, I have to say there are some amazingly qualified folks that live in this 22nd district.
Absolutely.
I mean, to name them all would be doing an injustice to the one person I forget. But I mean, anyone that lives in this 22nd district, if we had a more democratic process for special elections, would have been able to compete. And the voters would have actually had an opportunity to select who they wanted to temporarily fill this seat. And I say that because I think it's important. And you talked in the beginning, you know, you didn't want to confuse people. It is a confusing process. And maybe that's by intent. I don't know. But it's important for voters to know that there is still a primary, that when they showed up, even though not many people showed up, I think like 7% of voters showed up in the special. But it's important for folks to know that when they showed up back in February, what they were voting for is someone to temporarily hold that seat. Because, I mean, we can't have a vacancy. So, once again, we need to show up again in May, because who you vote for in May, that's not temporary. That's the full 2-year term. And that person will be able to go down to Harrisburg and really and get to work. And that's what I'm looking to do.
And we talked about, and I hope that's not, I just learned some new things. In fact, I'm going to look at some of those other, like you mentioned about New Jersey. I have to educate myself a little bit more, because, yeah, it's interesting that you would be able to, you know, throw your hat in the ring for an election like that and just see where the chips would fall. All right. But moving forward, you're talking about grassroots. What are some like specifics? What are some campaign issues that, you know, you really think are going to resonate with voters on May 19th?
Right. Well, as I've been out there collecting petition signatures, we were able to gather more than 3 times the number of required signatures. We spoke with way more people than what we were able to actually get signed, because not everyone we spoke with was registered. Not everyone was a Democrat. Some folks just didn't want to sign, and that's okay. But we were able to gather more than 900 signatures. I believe the exact number is 946 signatures. And to me, that is a testament of our message and of our vision and of my experience. And the number one issue that I've had while being on city council, even while being on school board, and as the next state rep for this district, is housing. If you do not have a safe, affordable, stable place to live, not much else matters. So it is my fundamental belief, not just rhetorically, but through policy, that housing is a human right. And I am ecstatic to see that our new county executive, Josh Siegel, that he has declared a state of emergency when it comes to housing, when it comes to homelessness. That's the type of action. That's the type of leadership that we need also at the state level. And I look forward to bringing that. And if I can, I don't want to get too micro into every single policy, but I think it's important that when a politician is coming on here and they're saying, you know, all these things are important to them, that they can actually back up with receipts what they're talking about. So I'm not just saying that housing's important, the end. I'm saying housing is important, and the way that we ensure that housing is a human right is through policies such as eviction ceiling. So eviction ceiling, if you are a tenant and you are facing a possible eviction, but you're either able to come up with the money or the judge makes some type of an arrangement for you and you're never technically evicted. That eviction, though, stays on your record. So it looks like you were evicted. So, you know, it becomes harder to find another place to rent, even to purchase a home, if that's what you choose to do. I am a big proponent of rent stabilization. There have been, just in the last couple of years, two bills. They keep getting stuck in committee, but there have been two bills that have been introduced at the state level, that would allow municipalities to enact rent stabilization. And I think that's important to mention because it does not force rent stabilization, or some people say rent control, upon municipalities. Mm-hmm. It allows municipalities that want to opt in. And that's the type of legislation that I would support. The rent's too damn high. The end. No explanations needed. It's too high. Yeah. It's too expensive. We've got senior citizens on fixed incomes. We've got young people graduating from college or finishing high school. They can't afford a place to live. That's not how you sustain a community, by, you know, having people forced to double and triple up in an apartment, or even worse, become homeless because they just can't keep up with the rent. But there's a number of other policies. I won't get into the explanation of everything, but it's all on my website.
People can go to your website. Yeah,
please. And please do go to my website. It is www.cecforpa.com. And that's where I explain all my policies that I'm looking to put forth. And I do want to mention real quick in terms of homeowners, because I am a homeowner. And a couple of years ago, as an organizer and a council member, I worked with State Senator Nikhil Saval. He's out of the Philly area. And he introduced a bill and passed a bipartisan bill called the Whole Home Repair legislation. What that did is it put much needed funds into the hands of lower and middle class homeowners to make critical repairs. We're talking plumbing, roofing, mold abatement. And people, I think they got up to like $25,000, I believe, to actually make these repairs. And it worked. I would like to see the whole home repair be a permanent line item in Pennsylvania's budget.
And we're talking about Josh Siegel. He gave you an endorsement. Josh Siegel has endorsed you.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, what does that mean to you? I think that makes this an interesting race, you know, all around. What does that endorsement mean for you? And talk a little bit about Josh.
Yeah, definitely. More than appreciative, more than honored to have his endorsement. Like I said, I am looking forward to seeing the work that he does as county executive, specifically when it comes to the areas of housing and homelessness. Mm-hmm. He's got a vision. Just like me, he's a policy wonk. He loves a good policy. He loves researching, as do I. I love meeting with other legislators, other policymakers, not just here in Lehigh County, but also throughout the state and throughout the country. So does he. So I think his endorsement is a testament to his belief that we know how to get stuff done. We won't always agree, because that would be weird if you agree with everyone. Yeah, like there's going to be some differences. But he knows that I know how to get things done, how to approach a problem through legislation to actually help people. And I know that he can do the same. And I've already seen him do it with housing, with immigration, concerning, you know, standing up to ICE. That's the type of leadership that we need.
It's been definitely an active, you know, beginning to his tenure. And yeah, it's a great endorsement to have. So we're wishing you, wait, I had one more question. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this. So this is good. This is the one I get to do.
All good. Let's see.
You're the 22nd district is unique, right? And like any place in the Lehigh Valley, but specifically, where's somewhere in the 22nd that, I don't know, you particularly love or you feel like is underrated or something like that? Where's somewhere in that district that is like, we should know more about? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. So I will give you two answers. Number one, yeah. I will say my block. So I'm on Hall Street and, you know, it's a little alleyway. It's right behind 7th Street. So it's in between 7th and 8th. And it makes me all the alleyways, really, like those of us who live in alleys, we don't get a lot of love. We deal with some issues that some of the kind of, you know, main corridors just don't. But also because when you live in an alley, you tend to have a closer knit community because literally it's a very dense street. I partnered with a nonprofit this past summer, and we were able to have a block party. The first one that the one guy across the street said they haven't had one in like 15 to 20 years. The last time they tried to have one, the city said that we couldn't because it's a high crime neighborhood. So I would say my block is underappreciated, which represents the fact just people that live in just kind of the off-beaten alleys that that people just drive through. You know, if the main street's blocked, you just kind of drive through the alley.
I'm an old guy now. Like if I have like an extra 30 minutes, I'll park the car and walk through neighborhoods. Like there's beautiful homes in there. There's like some really, it's a wonderful spot, and we're wishing you all the best. You know, I see you on social media all the time. I'm glad you reached out. We're excited. This is a very important election, you know, and I think you understand that more than anybody. So we're wishing you the best of luck, and we appreciate you taking some time to tell us more about yourself and to learn more about this, and all the best on May 19th.
Wonderful opportunity. And again, if anyone has any questions, if you want to donate, if you want to volunteer, visit my website, and we would love to engage. Thank you again.
Give that website one more time.
So www.ceceforpa.com. CC for PA.com.
There you go. All right. Thank you. Thank you, CC. Talk soon.
Thank you.